Adam, first of all, you are the kindest group of women I have ever encountered because you've all been asking. I feel so bad because I was away last week in Nassau, and you are so kind, and there's been a few like, oh yeah, you were away. But most of you have been asking, and I did have a wonderful time away, and one of the highlights, was I got to go to a women's group that my friend started at her church in Nassau called Proximity, and they have, I think there were about 9 different churches represented of women coming together, very similar to this, a Saturday afternoon, and it was just the most incredible thing. And one thing I loved, and I have to tell Joy still, was at the end, they got into small groups, and she said, okay, let's pray. And everyone just, like you ladies do, I felt like I was right here at home. We just got right to praying, and it was the most encouraging thing. And guess what one of the passages was that my friend taught about? Not Timothy, abide, John 15, because we were talking about friendships, and we have to be a friend with Jesus, and then we can be friends with others. So it was just a very exciting time, so thank you for thinking of me. Thank you for, I'm sorry I wasn't here for finishing Abide, but we are starting afresh tonight and continuing on with what God is doing with 1 Timothy. And wow, if this is how it's going to start, I don't know what God is going to do. So welcome to those of you who haven't come before. We are so glad you are here. And ladies who have been with us from Armor of God to Abide and now 1 Timothy, we are on a ride and we are so excited. All right, ladies. I'm sure that we can all agree that we have had someone in our lives that we could share about, whether it's someone who led us to Christ or have helped us grow in Christ, that we have someone who has been influential in our lives. We have all had to hear the gospel at some point. We didn't just all of a sudden become super Christians at that moment either. It's a process. And what we're going to see in the next few weeks is it requires relationships. So it's interesting because our lives today are so insular. Do you find that? We're very inside. I live in a condo townhouse there's people everywhere. Like I have people above me, beside me, behind me, and even under me because we have a parking garage, so they're under there too. And yet, I was thinking, I don't think I have talked to one of my neighbors in quite a long time. And that goes for us at church as well. We can watch church online. We can get email prayer requests. We can do Bible studies online. We can do all of those things and never have actually talked to a single person. And so because we have that, we can watch it online. Sorry, it's not the best picture of Charles, but hey, we can listen to sermons online and we can get prayer updates. But so we can have that and we can hear it said, I don't need church. And I've heard people say that. I can live the Christian life on my own. The thing is, we can't. We are made to be a body, each part needing each other. And as we begin this study in 1 Timothy, we're going to look at the relationship between two men, a spiritual father and son, and see how God used each of them in each other's lives and how that affects the church as a whole. And so as we look at this particular relationship, we're going to intentionally develop relationships in our life groups so that we, as disciples of Jesus, can grow in our relationship with Christ and as a result, be used by him to make more disciples. Are you ready for this? Yes? I can sense some trepidation going, what? I signed up for what? Trust me, it's going to be all good and it's going to be exciting. It's going to require stepping out of our comfort zones. It's going to require a little bit of vulnerability on our part. It's going to be asking us to share our lives with others. And that's a cost to invest, to let someone invest in you and for you to invest in others. But it's going to be worth it in the end. So let's just pray before we begin. Lord, thank you so much for this night. Thank you. That we are here looking at the book of 1 Timothy and what it means to be a disciple and how we can live that out. But Lord, we can only do it if you are in this, if this is yours. And so we pray tonight that your Holy Spirit will teach us, Father, that we would be listening, that you will just open our eyes to something new tonight and just have an excitement about what you have for us. And Lord, as we place our lives in your hands with this, that we can trust you with what's going to happen. And we thank you for each woman here. We thank you for each journey that they've had so far with you and the adventure that we're going to have together. So thank you so much for this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start just looking at the first three, not even three verses of 1 Timothy. We are going to look at the more in depth next week. So this is just kind of an overview tonight. If you were able to do the homework, some of this should be something you found out as you did your studying. And if you're new, then we'll just kind of catch everybody up and we'll be ready to take off together. So excuse my voice, and I apologize for those who listen to this. I will try not to cough directly into the microphone, but I might be drinking water a little bit more often. Had that little crazy. I did get some sun in Nassau, but I also picked up a respiratory bug. So thanks a lot, friends. No. Anyway. So Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus. So this is where we start. So we're going to take a look at the two main characters and the main place that they are at. So if we look right at verse 1, we're talking about Paul. So most of you know Paul, not personally, but you've heard of him. He had the huge encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, found in Acts 9. And he changed from being an opponent of Christianity to sharing Jesus, and not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. He had three missionary journeys. During that time of his journeys, he wrote the books of Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and Romans. So these were letters to the people he had visited, the churches he had visited. He was imprisoned in Rome. So when we finish the book of Acts, that's where we leave Paul. He's been put in prison in Rome, and this is where he writes the books of Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, and Philippians. As we're studying through the context of 1 Timothy, what we find is actually Paul was released. And people who have studied different texts have found out that he actually was released from prison, was able to travel around. This is when he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus. And then he was arrested and imprisoned again in Rome. And that's where he wrote 2 Timothy. And then he was executed by Nero, and that was about AD 67. So when we're looking at this letter of 1 Timothy, this is Paul who's been released from prison, and he has put Timothy in Ephesus and Titus in Crete. And they call 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy the pastoral letters because they weren't addressed to a church per se, they're addressed to specific individuals, but who weren't pastors, but they did a pastoral role in shepherding the sheep in these churches. And so there's actually some debate if Paul really even wrote these letters. I was like, what? It's in the Bible. Of course he did. So, you know, they look at the wording, they look at the things that are said, and it's some words are very much what Paul had written in other letters, but some are very new. And so what the general consensus is that, yes, Paul wrote these letters, but he had a different, we're gonna learn a new word tonight, amanuensis. I don't know if that's right. Amanuensis. Anyway, it's a fancy word for secretary. The person who wrote his letters, okay? And they think that might be Luke, because some of the wording used in 1 Timothy is very similar to what was used in the book of Luke and the book of Acts. That kind of, not that it does much to our what the word says, but it's just kind of neat to know that. I thought that was kind of neat, that it could be Luke. And actually, Paul, when he writes 2 Timothy, he says at that time, when he's imprisoned waiting to be executed by Nero, that Luke is the only one with him. And so that's where he was, and that's who they think wrote this letter for him. So we have Paul, and Paul says a few things. He says he's an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. The word apostle is a sent one, and he says he's a sent one from Christ Jesus. In Luke 6:13, when Jesus calls his disciples, he calls them apostles. And in Acts 1, when Jesus has ascended into heaven, and we have, they're taking the place, Judas, of course, the disciple who betrayed Jesus and was killed, they wanted to replace his position of being the apostle. And so one of the things was he had to be around when Jesus and seeing all the things that Jesus did. So even though Paul wasn't like that, he was still called an apostle because he was a sent one. He had that direct mission from Jesus Christ. And in Acts 14:14, he and Barnabas are called apostles. And because he's calling himself an apostle here, he's giving himself a bit of an authority. Because as we go into 1 Timothy, we're going to see that there's a problem. And yes, this letter is for Timothy, but the intention of this letter is not to be for Timothy alone, but to be read at the church in Ephesus and actually the house churches that met there. So he wanted to give, this is not just my word, this is the word of Jesus Christ. This is the authority that we are, this instruction is coming from, because there are some big problems in this church. He also says God our Savior, and that was one of the phrases that kind of was a stickler for some, because it wasn't a phrase Paul had used in any of his letters before. But one of the other interesting things is that Nero, during that time, he actually called himself the Savior of the world. So in Paul saying that God our Savior, he not only emphasizes the work that Jesus has done on the cross, but he also does it in contradiction to the leadership at that time who was saying he was the Savior of the world. No, it's God. And then, of course, he gives that encouragement that Jesus Christ is our hope. So that no matter what is happening in this particular church with this particular people, we still have hope in Jesus Christ. So this is who is writing this letter, and this is his background. So then we get to Timothy. So this is who it's for. And did any of you get a chance to kind of read through Acts 16? And if you were really into it, from 16 to 20 kind of gave you a glimpse of the life that Timothy led. So we have this guy, Timothy, who is a disciple from Lystra. And in Acts 16, Paul comes to Lystra, and he had actually been there before with Barnabas, and that's where people had come to know Jesus. So they're thinking that maybe he or his family had come to know Jesus during that first trip that they had to Lystra. So Timothy, his mom's a Jewish believer, his dad's Greek, and Paul wanted Timothy to go with him. And as I was looking at these chapters, and I don't know if this question came to your mind, like, what did this guy see going along with Paul, this young disciple who had come to know Jesus? He goes along with Paul, and he sees, the first thing they do is they're taking instructions to the church, and they're helping to strengthen the churches. So he's going to see all these different churches that have been planted. They go to some place and the Holy Spirit stops them, and we don't know how, but in Acts 16 it says the Holy Spirit said you're not to go there. So he's seeing this. Paul has visions, and one of his visions was a man from Macedonia. He says, come help us. And so he would have heard that of Paul having this vision. When they go to a new place and they introduce Jesus to these people, and they see people turn to the Lord, and their whole family is baptized, like Lydia. He sees Paul and Silas walking down, and this girl who they has an evil spirit and they use for fortune teller coming behind them, and Paul just gets enough, and he's like, okay, oh, evil spirit. And this, he sees that this girl is totally changed. So he's seeing all these amazing things that God is doing. He also sees the hardships. He sees Paul and Silas, because of that event, all of a sudden this man realizes his way of making money is gone, and Paul and Silas get arrested. and they get beaten. But he also hears how when they're in jail, they're singing and praying, and there's an earthquake, and the jailer comes in and wants to kill himself, but he brings the whole jailer and his whole family to Christ, and they get baptized. Like, all these things are happening, and that's just in Acts 16. So there's all these things that he's seeing and being part of and getting to know through Paul. But then, he also, Paul's regular thing was to go into the synagogue of every new place that he went to and reason through the scriptures with the Jews there. So he heard that. And then Paul starts to put some, allow Timothy to do some work. So as he goes on and moves on to Athens, Timothy and Silas stay in Berea to help encourage the churches there and minister there. He moves around and goes to Corinth. These are all the places that we have those letters. So you can start to see where Timothy has been a huge part of Paul's ministry. He was sent by Paul to Macedonia with a man named Erastus. He traveled to Paul to Philippi and other cities on the way to Jerusalem. So then we get these letters. And if you notice, I always think of them as Paul's letters. But if you look at them, that actually it's Paul and Timothy, or Paul and Timothy and Silas. They wrote 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Philemon. And in Hebrews, it says Timothy was actually arrested and released at some point. And we don't know why, and we don't know the situation. It just said Timothy was released and will be coming to you. So this young man who started out as a disciple of Christ has turned into really Paul's right-hand man and been part of his ministry. Just to give you an idea of where they are, so we have, does this have that little, oh, it does. I love it. Okay, so this is the Macedonia, so they would have gone to Berea and Thessalonica, Philippi, Corinth, but this is where we're focusing on here, okay? This is where Timothy is now. So Paul has been in Rome, he's been released, and he's traveling up through here, but this is where he's placed Timothy, and that's where we are. So we have Paul, we have Timothy, and just some cool things that Paul said about him, just to kind of get a good grasp of who Timothy is. He's a fellow worker, he's a beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He's someone of a kindred spirit, and doesn't that phrase just, you Anna Green Gables ladies, you must thrill with that phrase. He's a kindred spirit who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. He has the interests of Christ Jesus. He's proven his worth. He has a sincere faith, and he's known the sacred writings since his childhood, so he's obviously brought up in the Jewish traditions and looking at the scriptures, so he's got that basis. So we have this man who really is grown in his walk with the Lord. So we've got Paul, we've got Timothy, and then we have Ephesus. And this is pretty important to know about the church that Timothy's at right now when these problems are happening. So we have Ephesus, that is modern-day Turkey. Okay, so just to get an idea, he's over here now, just because I can. So it's a religious center, it's an economic hub, it's on the coast, so there's ships coming through. One of the big things there was the Temple of Artemis, and in Rome, so that's the Greek goddess, but then the Roman goddess Diana, so she's the goddess of fertility. So I don't know if any of you looked it up online what this goddess looked like, but I couldn't even put a picture of it because it's so, blah. Anyway. So just to give you, this is what it looks like now, the Temple of Artemis, but in its time, it was one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. Like, people would go just for this temple, and it was all built of marble and huge, yes. They also had this theater, and that might have, I think that's the theater that we'll talk about in a minute, where there was a big problem with Paul. So this church, and just to get a background of this church, I'm sorry there's a lot of information thrown at you tonight, but I think when we get all this and put it all together, it's going to really open up this message to Timothy that Paul has written. So we look at the church at Ephesus, and actually, Paul started there with a couple named Priscilla and Aquila. He joined up. They went to Ephesus. He popped in there, reasoned in the synagogue, and said, you know what? If it's God's will, I'm going to come back. Well, it was God's will. He did come back. He found 12 disciples. 3 months reasoned in the synagogues, but because of the Jewish people who were listening to him had hard hearts, he moved across the street or beside the synagogue to a lecture hall, and he taught there for 2 years. And God did incredible things through Paul in this time. Everyone in Asia, so everyone in that section of the world, heard the word of the Lord. And he performed extraordinary miracles so that even handkerchiefs that Paul had and they took to someone, they were healed, or the evil spirit was cast out of them. People were believing, they were confessing their sins and disclosing their practices, because part of the things that were happening there were that they were into magic. And so they would come and they would bring their magic books and they'd burn them. And it says that these books were worth 50,000 drachmas, and one drachma was 1 year's salary. So think of that in terms of today, like how much money that would be. So you have just an incredible work of God happening. People are turning to the Lord. They're confessing their sins. They're repenting of these works that they're doing. They're bringing their things and burning them. And so all of a sudden, people are like, okay, hold on. Paul is saying that idols are not gods at all. Hold on. We're making all these idols the goddess Artemis, and people are coming here to this temple. We're going to lose our money because people are turning away Jesus. So there was this huge riot, and they just went into that great theater and shouted for 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And they kept shouting and shouting and shouting, and there was a big turmoil over this. So this is the Ephesus that Timothy is at. That's how the church started. Paul actually met with the leaders on his way to Jerusalem, and he said, be careful. You have to be on guard, because in verse 29 of Acts 20, he says, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. So you've got a problem, Church of Ephesus. When I leave, there's going to be savage wolves come in among you. And not only are they going to come in among you, it's people from your own flock that are going to do this. And they're going to draw the disciples away. And that's exactly what has happened. And this is what Timothy is finding. So, what does all that have to do with us today, sitting here 2017? So for one thing, we need to have this context before we do this study. We can truly understand this message that Paul has had to Timothy. We see the relationships and the problems they were facing. But more importantly, do you notice something? That when we look at Paul in this letter, we look at Timothy, we look at who Timothy has been involved with, we look at the people involved in Ephesus, it all involves people. And we hear all these stories of Paul, and I know I grew up in Sunday school, so I heard all these stories, like felt Paul on the felt board, you know, what was that called? I can't even remember what that's called now. Flannel graph, yes. Paul on the flannel graph. You know, we think of him as this formidable man of God, which he was. And there were times that he was on his own, but for the most part, he had others in his life. And if we look carefully, we see that he had quite a few men and women involved in his life. He wrote letters to churches and to individuals because people, they needed a few things. We needed instruction, they needed reminders, they needed encouragement, they need correction, and they needed comfort. And not only did the people need it, Paul needed it in turn. And there are some examples of that from Timothy. He says, I'm going to send Timothy to you, my beloved and faithful child, to remind you the ways that are in Christ. I'm going to send Timothy to you so that I can be encouraged when I learn of your condition. I'm going to send Timothy, our brother, to strengthen and encourage you to your faith so that no man would be deceived by what you're going through. So Paul traveled with others, he worked with others, and he was supported by others. Can you think of what he went through? He went through new places, people, problems, misunderstandings, hatred, violence, high times and low times. Does that sound familiar? Our lives are very different than Paul's, but they're actually very similar as well. And what we do is we do need others in our lives because the Christian life is hard. As we discuss this and start our new adventure and discipleship groups, it's our intention to live life with each other. We need to remind each other of things. We need to encourage. We need to help correct. And we need to comfort each other. We need to pray with and serve with, help each other press forward. So Lord, thank you. And Lord, we look at the Bible and sometimes there's just a lot of words, but we thank you that you use people and you, people grew in you and they loved you and lived with you and they had others around them. So Lord, as we discuss this, that you would just pinpoint what we need to discuss, that Lord, you would open our mind and our hearts to what you'd have to say, that we would listen and hear others, and just Lord, you would be over the conversations that happen in our life groups, and we just thank you for each woman here tonight. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.